মাধব কুঞ্জাবি হারি। গোপী জনবালা ভিবারি গোপী জনবালা ভিবারি যশোরনন্দন ব্রজ জনরঞ্জন যশোরনন্দন ব্রজ জনরঞ্জন যমুন থিরাবনচারি যমুন থিরাবনচারি জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জাবিহারি গোপী জনবলভ গিরিবর্ণারি গোপী জনবলভ গিরিবর্ণারি যশোরনন্দন ব্রজ জনরঞ্জন যশোরনন্দন ব্রজ জনরঞ্জন যমুন থিরাবনচারি জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জাবিহারি জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জাবিহারি জয় রাধা শ্যাম সুন্দর রাধা শ্যাম সুন্দর রে জয় রাধা শ্যাম সুন্দর রাধা শ্যাম সুন্দর রে জয় কৃষ্ণ বলরাম কৃষ্ণ বলরাম কৃষ্ণ বলরাম জয় কৃষ্ণ বলরাম জয় গৌরনিতাই 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 জয় গৌরনিতাই জয় জয় প্রভুপাদ 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 জয় প্রভুপাদ জয় জয় প্রভুপাদ 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 শ্রীল প্রভুপাদ Gaur Premanandi Hariharibo Jayom Vishnupad Paramahamsa Paravrajak Acharya Asatara Sata Sri Srimad ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai Nitya Lila Prabhishta Om Vishnupad Divine Grace Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavarinda Ki Jai Nam Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sukho Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dittananda Shyadeta Gana Adhara Shivasati Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopana Shamakunda Radha Kunda Gira Gavadan Ki Jai Shri Prajabhumi Namanam Ki Jai Shri Namadip Mayapur Dam Ki Jai Shri Lachal Jagannath Puri Dam Ki Jai Gangamayi Ki Jai Jamunamayi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Shimati Tulsimarhani Ki Jai Most beautiful Lordship Shri Shri Radha Shamasundar Ki Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai Samabeta Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai Going back to home, back to Godhead Ki Jai ISKCON U Ramanreti Ki Jai Brihad Madanga Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Jai, International Food for Life Transcendental Prasadam Distribution Ki Jai, Shri Hari Nam Sankirtan Ki Jai, Nittai Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga, glory to Srila Prabhupada. So I see a lot of faces that I have had contact with over the years. In 1990, His Holiness Jayadvaita Maharaj contacted me and said BTG had stopped being distributed and he wanted me to help turn it into a subscription vehicle. So I was in New York at the time, so I agreed, so I shifted to San Diego. And from 90 to 92, Jayadvaita Maharaj, myself, Dravida, and Yamaraj, we lived in what was called a BTG house in San Diego. Was about 10 minutes walk from the temple. Then in 1992, Yamaraj and I, Maharaj said, San Diego is too expensive, Alacha will be much less expensive for us to operate from. So I don't remember how he got here, but Yamaraj and I drove cross country. So from San Diego, we went to Phoenix, then Tucson, then we blasted through New Mexico, we went to El Paso, stayed in an Indian-owned motel, and then from there we went to Austin, Sankarshan Prabhu and his wife, Vishnupriya, we stayed with them for a while, then we went to Dallas, then Houston, then New Orleans, brief stop in Tallahassee, and then we arrived here. All in all, I think we took about 8 days to make the crossing. Then in 94, I told Jayadvaita Maharaj, I said, I'm a city boy. I need the wireless. I prefer to hold the mic in my hand. That way I can turn my head anyway. So in 94, I told Maharaj, I'm a city boy. I was born in Jamaica, but I was raised in New York City. Went to high school there and college and everything. Joined the movement in 73. Got a book from a bhakta who later became Devamrita Das, now he's Devamrita Swami. But at the time he was a bhakta. He reminded me of that recently. So I told Maharaj, this farm life is not for me. it's too quiet. I can't sleep. I'm a lifelong insomniac. I can't sleep when it's noisy and I can't sleep when it's too quiet. So anyway, I went back to San Diego and then Potomac, and then I've been on the West Coast for the last 32 years, back to Los Angeles. Anyway, so since 94, this is my first visit, the first time I'm seeing these beautiful deities in person. I've seen them online, obviously a lot of pictures, but my first time. So I'm very happy to be back here. And on the 19th of this month, we celebrated the 59th anniversary of Srila Prabhupada's founding the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So we're all members of ISKCON, yes, and we should be always ready to explain to people, based on what Prabhupada himself said, why he created ISKCON, why so many temples. So I chose a verse and purport for tonight that Prabhupada clearly explains why. So this is the seventh canto, chapter 14, text 29. And again, thank you whoever left your glasses here. Please claim them after class. So we have it on the screen. Yeah, we can recite the verse, please. Yatra yatra hair archa. Sade shakshaya sang padam. Yatra gangarayo nadhyang. Purane shucha vishutaha. When there's a long A before that visarga, it's aha. If it was a short A, it would be aha. But if it's a long A, it's aha. Okay? Yatra yatra hayar archa. Sade shakshaya sang padam. Yatra gangara yonadhyak. Purane shucha vishrutaha. Yatra yatra hayar archa. Sade shakshaya sang padam. Yatra gangara yonadhyak. Purane shucha vishrutaha. Please chant. Vaishnavis. This needs to be off until. I know, this needs to be off until. Yatra gangadaya nadya. Vishwanesha shabishutaha. Thank you. Synonyms, yatra, yatra, wherever, hare, hare, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, archa, the deity is worshipped, saha, that, deshaha, place, country, or neighborhood, shreyasam, of all auspiciousness. Padam, the place. Yatra, wherever. Ganga Adayaha, like the Ganges, Yamuna, Narmada, and Kaveri. Nadyaha, sacred rivers. Puraneshu, in the Puranas, supplementary Vedic literature. Cha, also. Vishwataha are celebrated. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. Auspicious indeed are the places where there is a temple of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, in which he is duly worshipped, and also the places where there flow the celebrated sacred rivers mentioned in the Puranas, the supplementary Vedic literatures. Anything spiritual done there is certainly very effective. Please repeat. Auspicious indeed are the places where there is a temple of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, in which he is duly worshipped, and also the places where there flow the celebrated sacred rivers mentioned in the Puranas, the supplementary Vedic literatures. Anything spiritual done there is certainly very effective. Srila Prabhupada's purport. There are many atheists, not in this room, obviously, right, who oppose the worship of the deity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the temple. In this verse, however, it is authoritatively stated that any place where the deity is worshipped is transcendental. It does not belong to the material world. It is also said that the forest is in the mode of goodness, and therefore those who want to cultivate spiritual life are advised to go to the forest. But one should not go to the forest simply to live like a monkey. Monkeys and other ferocious animals also live in the forest. But a person who goes to the forest for spiritual culture must accept the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as shelter. Vanangato yad dharim ashayeta. One should not be satisfied simply to go to the forest. One must take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this age, therefore, since it is impossible to go to the forest for spiritual culture, one is recommended to live in the temple community as a devotee, regularly worship the deity, follow the regulative principles, and thus make the place like Vaikuntha. The forest may be in goodness, the cities and villages in passion, and the brothels, hotels, and restaurants in ignorance. But when one lives in the temple community, he lives in Vaikuntha. Therefore, it is said here, Shayasang Padam. It is the best, most auspicious place. In many places throughout the world, we are constructing communities to give shelter to devotees and worship the deity in the temple. The deity cannot be worshipped except by devotees. Temple worshippers who fail to give importance to the devotees are third class. They are Kanishta Adhikaris in the lower stage of spiritual life. As it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, Chapter 2, Text 47, Archayam eva haraye pujang yakshadheyate natad bhakteshu chanyeshu sabakta prakrita smritaha. Translation, a person who is very faithfully engaged in the worship of the deity in the temple, but does not know how to behave toward devotees or people in general is called a prakrita bhakta or kanishta adhikari. End of translation. Therefore, in the temple, there must be the deity of the Lord, and the Lord should be worshipped by the devotees. This combination of the devotees and the deity creates a first-class transcendental place. Aside from this, if a grihastha devotee worships the Shalagram Shila, or the form of the deity at home, his home also becomes a very great place. It was therefore customary for members of the three higher classes, namely the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, to worship the Shalagram Shila, or a small deity of Radha Krishna or Sita Ram, in each and every home. This made everything auspicious, but now they have given up the deity worship. Men have become modernized and are consequently indulging in all sorts of sinful activities, and therefore they are extremely unhappy. According to Vedic civilization, therefore, the holy places of pilgrimage are considered most sacred, and still, there are hundreds and thousands of holy places like Jagannath Puri, Vrindavan, Hardwar, Rameshwar, Prayag, and Mathura. India is a place for worshiping or for cultivating spiritual life. The Krishna consciousness movement invites everyone from all over the world, without discrimination as the caste or creed, to come to its centers and cultivate spiritual life perfectly. All right, we can turn this one down now. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachadeshtarane Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manomishta Sapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeyaham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakalam Shri Gurun Vaishyavangsha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Bhutam Tang Sujivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Bhutangsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindabhaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kopa Turubhya Shah Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patita Nang Pavanebhyo Vaishyavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dityananda Shri Adaita Gadadhara Shri Vasati Gaur Bhaktivedanta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So again, it's a pleasure and a privilege to be back in New Ramanriti. I actually not planned, but then when Hans Rupa said he was coming to visit his family for a few weeks, I said, okay, I'll just come for the weekend because next week I'm going to Los Angeles for their Rath Yatra. So I go back to New York tomorrow, stay one day, and then Wednesday I fly to the West Coast. So this purport is one of those amazing purports that Prabhupada has given us throughout his books. Every point perfectly presented and perfectly clear. So we should take the time to just quickly go back over each point. So let me get back to the beginning of the purport. So there are many atheists who oppose the worship of the deity of the Supreme Person of God in the temple. So we're very fortunate. I think most of us have advanced beyond that point. We are not atheists, we are theists. We understand that there is a supreme person behind everything. The opposite and only other conclusion would be there that there would be some impersonal manifestation that is the cause of everything. But as I understood right away from coming in contact with Srila Prabhupada's movement, you cannot have an infinite regression of cause and effect. I had a father, he had a father, he had a father. There has to be an original father. You can't just going like that, go on like that ad infinitum. There has to be a beginning of everything. So it's just a question of, do you accept, again, a supreme person or a supreme impersonal manifestation? Now we have experience that impersonal manifestations don't give rise to anything unless they are contacted by a person, just like this floor is made of marble. The marble didn't quarry itself and cut itself into perfect squares to be placed on the floor. A person with vision and the right tools accomplished that. So it's like that for anything impersonal. This podium made of wood did not create itself. And initially there was a tree, which is a living entity, gave up that external body or was cut down, and then somebody again with vision planed the raw wood into perfect planks, and then somebody went to the store and bought those planks and made a podium. So in every aspect of life, wherever we look, we see that there has to be a personal touch for anything to happen. Impersonal energy doesn't arrange or rearrange itself. There's always a person behind it. So that much is clear. And once we accept that as being factual, then we are no longer atheists. We have come to the theistic camp. Now, even within the theistic camp, there are divisions. Some persons will present this person as being the supreme or that deity as being the supreme like that. But Prabhupada has made it very clear to us that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's why he named the society the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He said that some friends had said, why Krishna? They don't know who Krishna is. Why not just call it the International Society for God Consciousness? Prabhupada said, no, God is too general. We want to be specific. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So now we're theists, and we know who the Supreme Deity is. Right? Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karana. Clearly, we're in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, and the head of our Sampradaya clearly states in his Sanghita, Ishvara Parama Krishna. There may be so many other controllers, but the supreme controller is Krishna. So that we've established. Then, Prabhupada goes on to say, in this verse, it is authoritatively stated that any place where the deity is worshipped is transcendental. So we're sitting in a transcendental space. We may not appreciate, or we may appreciate the different levels, but since the deity of Krishna, Supreme, is being worshipped here, this is a transcendental space. And that's why, again, as we advance, we become more and more attracted to coming to worship the deity. Now, again, there are different levels of realization. The Kanishtha Adhikari, which was mentioned earlier, yes, they're attracted. They come to the temple, they bow down, they put a few dollars in the hundi. They engage, but their vision is incomplete because they don't know how to interact with devotees. So that's the next step, the Madhyam Adhikari. Ishware Teradineshu, Balisheshu Dasatsucha, Prema Maitri Kipopeksha, Sakkaroti Samadhyamaha. So Prabhupada would always say, don't remain in the condition. Go to the next level, Madhyam level. Madhyam level means you see four manifestations. Ishvara, the Supreme Lord. Tadadina, the devotees are considered to be the paraphernalia of the Lord, so they were referred to as the Lord's Tadadina. Ishvara, Tadadinish. Bali, the innocent. And Dvishatsu, the envious, the demons. So how to relate? Prema, Maitri, Kripa, Upeksha. To the Lord, we try to develop our love. Every one of us has a propensity to love. But the sad truth is that when we're in a conditioned state, we're trying to repose our love in undeserving places or undeserving persons. And therefore, we're constantly disappointed, frustrated. The very first literature that I got from Dev Amrita, well, he was still a bhakti at the time, was Krishna, the Reservoir of Pleasure, that little pamphlet. How many have read that? It is such a powerful piece, because, you know, I had just finished my third year of engineering school, studying civil engineering, right? Just a short walk from the current Brooklyn Temple. I'm walking down J Street, and I see a brahmachari in bright orange clothes sitting at a book table, and I was attracted to go over. My first thought was, this guy is brave to walk around New York dressed like that. You know, because in those days, the rest of us were dressed in jeans, t-shirts, like that. That was the uniform of the advanced persons. Everybody wore jeans, t-shirt. So I went over and struck up a conversation, gave him, a few dollars, and got a package of incense and the Reservoir of Pleasure. So being a college student, I always had a backpack. I put it in my backpack and literally did not look at it until months later. I was uncharacteristically early for some engagement and what to do while I'm waiting, so I reached in the backpack. Oh, okay. And I opened it up, and from the very first sentence, Prabhupada grabbed me. Krishna, that name is transcendental. Krishna means the highest pleasure. Every one of us is looking for pleasure, but we don't know where to look. So Prabhupada grabbed me because that was, you know, and ostensibly I was a student studying engineering, but the real goal of life was pleasure. Make this arrangement for this party, this arrangement for that illegal substance, you know, whatever. Pleasure, you're always looking for pleasure. So Prabhupada grabbed me right away. So I started going to the Henry Street Temple. And long story short, in those days, if you came more than a few weeks in a row and they said, hey, you're an intelligent guy, you understand the philosophy, why don't you move in? So I did. That temple, Henry Street Temple, produced so many powerful disciples of Srila Prabhupada, many of whom are still active. So when I joined, Yamaraj was already initiated. Jayadvaita Maharaj was there. He wasn't Maharaj yet. He was still Jayadvaita Brahmachari. Dravida Prabhu, who's still very active. Toshan Krishna. Hansarupa came about a year later. So many devotees from that temple are still active in ISKCON. So there was something special. Any of you ever been to that Hare Krishna temple? Put your hand up. Yeah. So it was previously, it was a convent, a place for Catholic nuns to live. By the way, I have no qualms or problems speaking just on and on and on. So you have to tell me, when do I stop? When should I stop? What time to stop? What time does the class end? Yes? Okay. So it had been a convent, and many nuns had died in that convent. So when you join, first thing they teach you is you must sleep on your back. If you can't stay on your back all night, then roll to one side or the other, but never on your stomach. So being a little bit obedient, I immediately started sleeping on my back. But they said also, never go up to the fifth floor. It's haunted. But at that time, there were like 100 brahmacharis sleeping in a room half this size. Everybody had their little 6 by 2 feet space, and you had your sleeping bag. And in the summertime, it was extremely hot in that room. So one night, I couldn't stand it. I said, it's too hot. So I grabbed my sleeping bag and went up to the fifth floor. Put down the bag. I'm on my back, fall asleep. Feel the presence, and I open my eyes, and this female form wearing all white. But you know, because you don't see anything touching the floor. It just comes floating across. And now, I try to chant Hare Krishna, but you know, we know from the Bhagavatam, this is real. Above the humans are the ghostly forms, and they have the ability to control your senses. So they, whoever that person was, locked, I couldn't chant. But in my mind, I started reciting every Nisringa mantra I could remember. And that was one of the benefits of living and joining on Henry Street. There were so many devotees who knew so much, like Pushkar. You have, those of you who know Pushkar well, he's like a fountain of shlokas. So in those days, when you're a new brahmachari, you have to get with the program. You have to start learning the shlokas. Otherwise, Pushkar or Dravida or some other senior devotee could say, okay, let's sit down and recite 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita by heart. So you had to learn. So very quickly, I learned a lot of Nisringa mantras, and I was reciting, and so the form came and disappeared. Now, Prabhupada goes on to say that yes, in the Vedic culture, people are trained to go to the forest for spiritual advancement. But not like a monkey or other wild animals. They're living in the forest, but they're engaging in all kinds of not very nice habits. Prabhupada said, nobody likes monkeys. As soon as a monkey comes around, get out of here, get out of here. Because they're mischievous. So not like that. He quotes one line, the last line from a famous verse. This is Prahlad Maharaj preaching to his father, Hiranyakashipu. He says, Tat sadhu manye suravarya dehinam. He said, you are always in anxiety because you've accepted the asat as being permanent. You've accepted this body and your wives and your palaces as being the goal of life, permanent. But no, it's not. So what to do? He said, now you have to go. But I'm going to yad arimashayita. You must go to the forest and take shelter of Vishnu. Now, this was a big insult because Hiranyakashipu considered Vishnu to be his enemy. So for his 5-year-old son to tell him, go to the forest and take shelter of Vishnu. That was, so you can see Prahlad was a very bold preacher. He was not. Prabhupada also cites this verse to show that Prahlad never said, my dear father. He called him Asuryavarya, best of the demons. How brave. How old is your boy? 4. Okay, so imagine if in 1 year he starts calling you. No, you're not anyway. You're a devotee, so you wouldn't say that. But so Prahlada was very bold preacher. And Prabhupada said we must learn to preach in the mood of Prahlada. What is Prahlada's mood? That I don't want to go back to the spiritual world alone, leaving aside all these fools and rascals who are trying desperately to enjoy in the material world. My dear Lord and Sringadev, I want them to come back as well. So that's the mood of a preacher. And that was Prabhupada's mood. We know from the history that Srila Prabhupada literally only spent 12, a little less than 13 years preaching in the West. Yet, look at how much he accomplished. So I look back on my own life. I'll be 73 in October. Is there any 13-year period in which I accomplished anything close to what Prabhupada did? Anybody here? Look back on your life. Is there any 13-year period in which you accomplished anything close to what Srila Prabhupada has done? So what do we have to be proud of? What do we have to be proud of? And this pride is the number one enemy of spiritual advancement. We know from Bhagavad Gita, 8th chapter, text 12 through 20. Krishna says, there are 20 items of knowledge that Krishna says you must cultivate if you want to advance. And he starts out, amanitam adambitam. Humility, pridelessness. If we don't have those two things, there's no question of spiritual advancement. And again, what have we accomplished? What do we have to be proud of? Look around this room. I told Pushkar this morning, this is actually Pushkar Loka, because every painting is done by you. But I think Pushkar is advanced enough to know that his ability is given by Krishna and it's meant to be used in Krishna's service. And that goes for all of us. Krishna says, Purusham Narshu, I am the ability in man or woman. Whatever ability we have should be used in Krishna's service. And Prabhupada said that explicitly. Krishna consciousness means using your God-given talent in God's service. So whatever you're good at. On Henry Street, there was, you know, we have two Anuttamas in ISKCON, and in proper disciples. And I've always wondered why did Prabhupada give Anuttama name to two disciples? But anyway, there is the Anuttama, who's now on the GBC body, and then there's what we used to call Car Anuttama. He joined when he was like 17 or 18 years old, and he was already an expert mechanic. So his service was maintaining the vehicles. So any talent that God's given you, you can use in God's service. So that was his service. He was maintaining the vehicles. And how important is that? Nowadays, in the Vedic culture, everyone was trained that whatever your occupation was, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, especially the Vaishyas, whatever you earn, you give a percentage for worshiping the Lord. Only the Brahmanas stayed in the temple to do the puja. Everybody else lived outside. And if you're a Vaishya especially, you raised your crops and you protected the cows. And then you gave some percentage of that for maintaining the deity worship. Actually, everybody understood that the land actually belongs to the deity. And I'm allowed to use it to cultivate. So whatever is there, and Krishna is sending the rain, Anand Bhavati Bhutani Parjanya, Anasambhava, can't have Anna without rain, and rain is produced by sacrifice. Everybody understood that. Nowadays, we have a lot of devotees who live in the temple, and as here, you have a huge devotee community outside. But everybody should be conscious of the fact, whatever my situation is, I should be contributing to spreading Krishna consciousness, either directly, like our Vasili here, I know from New York, Bhakta Vasili, goes out every day practically distributing books, or if you're a business person, IT wala, whatever you are, making six figures, give at least two of those figures to Krishna, right? Everybody has a role to play, a part to play in spreading Krishna consciousness. This was Prabhupada's mood. And he exhibited that specifically in his pastime with George Harrison. After some time of associating with Prabhupada, George Harrison wanted to join and move in the ashram. And the devotees were thinking this is a good idea, but Prabhupada said no. He will do much better remaining in his position as a famous musician and contributing to the movement, which he did. You know, his biggest contribution was giving that Bhaktivedanta manner. So everybody can contribute. Again, either directly, being on the altar, worshiping the deities. Now, Prabhupada mentions that if you are a householder living outside, generally, in the Vedic culture, they would have Shalagram Shila or Murti of Radha Krishna, Sitaram. But I beg devotees to be very cautious. I've seen in my 50-odd years of being associated with ISKCON that some devotees, yes, they gravitate towards worshiping Shalagram Shila, but they do it in a very, I don't want to be too harsh, but flippant mood, not very seriously. And if worshiping Shalagram Shila is an extremely serious undertaking. It's not something that you do lightly. You have to know the proper mantras and worship in the proper mood. I've seen, again, so many devotees who take it lightly and they fall down, specifically because of offenses to Shalagram Shila, or to speak of Radha Krishna. So Prabhupada in New Dwarka in the 70s, he discouraged householders, especially those living in the community, from having deities at home. He said, the deities are standing here, Rukmini Dwarkadish, Gornitai, Jagannath Balabhaswar, come to the temple and engage in deity worship. Because the devotees, even then, when Prabhupada was here, they were using the excuse, oh, I can't come, I'm worshiping my deities at home. Prabhupada didn't accept that. He established the temples, as he stated in today's purport, as transcendental space where everybody can come and worship the deity and engage in spiritual activities. Not that everybody makes their own temple when you're actually just a short distance away from the temple. So these points we should think about. Don't be flippant about worshiping the deity, whether it's Shalagram Shila or some other form of the Lord. And if you are close enough, come and worship the deity in the temple. If you're twice initiated, engage directly in, like in New Dwarka for many years, they used to have a three-man, or I should say a three-person, because at least one day a week they would have three ladies on the altar. And every other day there were three men offering Mangal Arti. So I used to do 4 days of the seven. I used to do Mangal Arti, offer to the deities. And then, you know, as the community became a little less populated, more sparsely populated, they switched over to only one person doing Mangal Arti every morning. So then I had to give, I couldn't do four out of the seven because others would object. There's not enough days for everybody else. I just reduced to 2 days a week. But the point is, if you live in the community, go to the temple, starting with Mangal Arti. And if you're twice initiated, take some responsible service for the pleasure of the deities, either dressing or bathing or offering arti like that. Everybody can participate. And this sets the example for the next generation. When I was a child, the prevailing, at least where I came from, the prevailing method of parenting was, do as I say, not as I do. For instance, my father was a smoker, but he warned us, don't smoke. So that kind of parenting doesn't go very far, because children are very observant. So when I was about 13 or 14, he stopped smoking, but he still had some cigarettes around the house, so I started smoking. So you can't tell your children not to do things that you're doing, or vice versa. You can't then tell them to do things. Go to temple if you're not going. So it's very, very responsible position to be a parent. You have to set the proper example, the proper mood for your offspring. And you can't do it if you're not genuinely into it. So we have to always check, how genuine is my worship? How genuine is my chanting? How genuine is my attendance at the temple? In the Potomac Temple, where I lived for a few years, they had a quotation from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. I don't remember the exact wording now, it's been a few years, but he said in essence that attachment to japa takes some time. However, if you become attached to kirtan, then the taste for japa. So the kirtan is there for everybody. Come, chant, dance in front of the deities. And as we do, chant and dance. Prabhupada also encourage dance, don't just chant. Sometimes the devotees come and stand like statues. And no, chant, dance. So we chant, dance together in front of the deities, and when we do that, naturally, the taste for the holy name increases, and it transfers to better japa. Then you can concentrate more on japa. Otherwise, We're chanting japa, but the mind is going here, there, everywhere. I'm thinking about, you know, thinking about what's happening in politically, socially, economically, etc. One time, one devotee said to Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada, when I chant, I think, and Prabhupada immediately cut him off. No thinking, just chant and hear. Chant Hare Krishna and hear Hare Krishna. Don't let the mind take you away from the vibration. So again, I'm very happy to be here after so many years of absence. And I think it's about time. We'll just maybe have a few minutes for any questions or reflections. Okay, thank you very much for your kind attention. Rantarachima Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.